You've got ideas, you've got ambition, you've got no time, or so you think. I'm Marissa Lonick, and I help busy moms with big dreams and no time. Join me each week as I dive into time management strategies, goal setting and achieving framework, and inspiring guests who are juggling mom life, work life, fill in the blank life. Dreams don't work unless you do, and just because you're a mom doesn't mean you can't still make it happen, whatever it means to you. Welcome to the Mama Work It podcast. Hello, hello, mama friends. Welcome back to another amazing episode of the Mama Work It podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so excited to introduce you to our guest this week, Patricia Roberts. Patricia has helped tens of thousands of families prepare for the cost of higher education and avoid millions of dollars in student loan debt through her leadership over the past 23 years in nearly every aspect of 529 college savings plans. She's also the author of the book called Route 529, A Parent's Guide to Saving for College and Career Training with 529 Plans. She is also currently Chief Operating Officer at Gift of College, Inc., where she helps employers offer financial wellness benefits that provide employees with assistance in saving for college and paying down student loan debt. In her favorite role of all, as a mom, she celebrated her son's debt-free graduation from college this past June. Patricia, thank you so much for being here.
I am thrilled to be here today, Marissa. Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. Well, I always love to ask my guests to tell us a little bit more about you and how you learned so much about managing 529 plans.
Well, sure. A little bit about me. I am someone who nearly missed the opportunity to go to college because of costs. I grew up in a very low-income family, headed by a wonderful mom as a solo head of household, and we really did not have the money to get me to college. In fact, my high school guidance counselor suggested I not go, but rather stick with the waitressing job I had had since the age of 14. And my mom would have nothing of that. She said, "You are going, we're going to find a way." And I did. I borrowed a tremendous amount. I cobbled together some money from grants and scholarships, but gladly I was able to attend college and even graduate school eventually. And that education helped me to be able to lift my mom and my family out of poverty as a result. So I am someone who really believes in the value of higher education and somebody who appreciates having had the opportunity to pursue it. And how did I learn about 529 plans? In one of my first jobs, my first legal job, after going to law school at night, one of the first attorney positions I had, the firm I was working for learned about 529 plans, and they were interested in getting into that line of business as an investment manager. So they asked me as an attorney to find out what I could about Section 529 of the Internal Revenue Code. These plans were very new at the time. And that was one of my assignments, and it was perfect because I and my husband were expecting our first child at the time. And we were paying down about $100,000 in student loan debt. So for me to have an opportunity to learn about something that could help us avoid it for our son was really terrific. So that's really my connection, is the strong background in pursuing higher education and the gratitude for having been able to do so. And then the work that I had that enabled me to learn about these plans.
Wow. I love that story. I love how it's so personal to you, not only from your own educational background, and then like all the stars aligned and you were able to get that assignment in working for that firm. So that is really, really incredible.
Yeah, I'm really grateful for that. And it did work out perfectly. I eventually moved from the legal side to the business side, and I helped some of the largest financial services firms manage these 529 plans and market them to families around the country. So I really am thrilled that I was able to fall into that line of work because, as you say, it aligned so closely with my values.
Right, right. All right, well, we hear the term 529 thrown around a lot, but many of us have no idea what this actually means. So can you explain what a 529 is and how it works?
Absolutely. And do not feel bad if you do not know what these plans are, because 65% of Americans, nearly 65% of Americans say they've never heard of these plans. And if they have, they don't really understand how they work. So you're in good company needing some education on these plans. And that's what I'm on a mission to do. First of all, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, these are named after Section 529 of the Internal Revenue Code. So much like their Section 401k, for instance, which people may know if they have retirement savings, this is Section 529. And these plans have been around for about 25 years. And what are they? They are special accounts that enable American families to prepare for higher education expenses, and to do so without having to pay tax on the earnings as the accounts grow in value. And Marissa, you may know from having some other forms of investments that typically at year end, you get a tax statement telling you what you owe on your earnings or on the growth of maybe a bank account or a mutual fund account. These accounts do not fall into that category. So the account value is growing without being taxed. And in fact, as long as the money is used when it's withdrawn to pay for a wide range of higher education expenses, which we can subsequently talk about, those funds are never taxed. So you've put after-tax money into the account. This is money you've already earned and paid taxes on. You deposit it into the account, and as it grows in value, unlike with other investments, you're not paying tax. That's what's really unique about these plans. What's also unique is in over 30 states, individuals are able to take a state tax deduction or credit annually for their contributions to the 529 college savings plan. So these special tax benefits, growing tax-free, coming out tax-free when they're used for these various expenses, and then an annual state tax deduction in more than 30 states, really make them special. And what else is special about them is that the parent or the account owner, and you don't need to be the parent, we'll talk later about some myths, I'm sure, but the account owner always stays in control of these accounts. Unlike some other forms of investment where the child can be set up with some funds for the future, those forms of investments, oftentimes UGMA or UTMA accounts, if you've heard those references, they become the child's assets when they reach a certain age, typically 18 or 21, depending on the state. What's great about 529 plan accounts is the account owner always stays in control of the funds. So it's up to them whether and to what extent to disperse the funds. So if the child decides that they're not going to go to Harvard and they're instead going to buy a Harley, the parent is not using the funds for that. It's up to the parent to decide. What else is unique about them is that these accounts are very easy to open. Investors can get started with oftentimes $25 or even less. And there are no income limits, unlike other forms of investment, sometimes where there's no income or time limit. So you can put the money in, it can grow in value, and you can keep that money in the account as long as you would like. I think those are the key attributes that make 529 plans a little bit different. In terms of what they can be used for, they are called 529 college savings plans, but that's confusing to people because they're not just for college. And again, when we start talking about the myths, I'll talk to you about the full range of educational experiences and types of expenses these accounts can be used for.
Yeah. I think that is a little bit tricky because I think people do see the college, the word college, and they worry. They worry, well, what if my kid decides to take a different path in life, right? And I've put all this money into that and it can't be used for it. So I'm glad we're going to cover that for sure. Now, a lot of our listeners here, you know, they have kids that are maybe 10, 15, maybe even 18 years away from starting college. What steps do you recommend that they take right now with regards to preparing to save for higher education, even though they're kind of far off from that time?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's never too early. And I would also say it's never too late to start saving for an expense such as higher education. I've read that the higher education expenses that families are likely to incur are oftentimes second only to the cost of purchasing a home. You cannot get started early enough. Parents should not feel bad if they haven't yet started and they're a little bit later in the game, because what's important is every dollar you can save and invest is that much less that your child's going to have to borrow and repay with interest. So you should feel good about whatever you can do. The most important tip is to get started now. 529 plans are very easy to research. You can go online, you can put the name of your state and the numbers 529, and you can see what your particular state has to offer in terms of 529 plan options. You do not have to invest in your particular state's plan, but it's a great place to start. As I said, over 30 states offer a tax deduction or credit for investing in the home state plan. Some states allow you to invest in any state's plan, but I always suggest start with your state because there may be some special attributes that would be helpful to you. If you happen to have a financial advisor or a financial professional in your life, I would suggest talking to them. You do not need to have a financial professional to get started. It's very easy to open an account. But if you've got somebody who's already advising you on other financial matters, why not talk to them as well? It makes sense. So get started now. The next thing I would say is once you have opened an account, automate your contributions to it. One of the most successful ways that I was able to save for my son's higher education was to take it directly out of my pay at work. As soon as I returned from maternity leave, I began taking small deductions out of my paycheck, but it felt manageable because the money never passed my hands. So if you can automate in that way, if you can do it through work, I think that's probably the best scenario. Otherwise, if you can decide to contribute, say monthly from a checking or savings account, that's another great way to do it. Another tip I want to share with your audience, they don't need to go it alone. The 529 plans make it very easy to invite friends and family to contribute. So I would suspect many in your audience have family members and friends who love their children and they want to do something for them each year, for a birthday, for a holiday, for perhaps a religious milestone or some other event. Once you have an account opened, if you feel comfortable, you can tell friends and family that you're on a mission to save for this child's future and that you'd invite them to contribute any amount if they choose to, perhaps in lieu of more traditional gifts that are likely to be outgrown quickly, discarded quickly, and perhaps cluttering your home. So there are people in your life, I would suspect, who would welcome the opportunity to contribute to your 529 account, and I'd invite them. Another thing you can do is invite your employer if you happen to be employed outside of the home. Ask your employer. A growing number are starting to look into 529 plans as a voluntary benefit. Can let your employer know that you'd welcome a contribution. And then the other tip I have, because people worry about where are they going to find the money to save, I'd look for opportunities in your life where you either have found money, I would call it, perhaps a tax refund or some other money that's come into your life that you weren't expecting, or to redirect funds that you were spending on something else to your 529 plan. When your child becomes potty trained, that is a huge sense of accomplishment for you, for your child, for your family. If you think about what you were spending on diapers and diapering supplies and start putting that money, I bet you it's at least $50 or $60 a month in most parts of the country to be purchasing diapers, or even if you have a diaper service. Once you no longer need to be spending money on that, if you can reallocate those funds and send it to the 529, that's a great idea. Same with daycare. If you have a child that's in daycare and then suddenly they're in public school full-time or private school full-time, you can take the money that you were spending on daycare. You just need to be a little bit creative about where you're going to find the money. But I assure you, in many families, there are probably corners that can be cut and ways to redirect money that you were already spending on something else.
Oh, I love these tips. I like the diaper one especially because we are just at that stage with my youngest where I think we will start potty training this season. And what a great idea to use that $50 or whatever it is that you're spending on diapers every month and just reallocate it. You won't miss it. You've already been using it. So, and I'm with you on the auto contributions. Like if you have that option, that's a great fit, or doing the automatic. I have it on reoccurring automatic in my checking account. So it just, it's like paying a bill every month, right? It just pops out. I don't even think about it. I don't have to like write it down in my calendar as a reminder to do. It's just an automated thing that I have going. So I'm happy to hear I'm doing some of these tips and I'm learning so much about additional things. So this is great. This is so great. All right. Well, what are those myths that we were mentioning earlier that you were talking about? I'm curious, like what are the biggest myths about saving for college or saving or utilizing these 529s that people have?
First of all, one of the greatest myths is that these plans are only for traditional college, and that could not be further from the truth. In fact, 529 plans can be used for two-year colleges, junior college, community college, four-year more traditional colleges and universities, trade and technical schools, graduate and professional programs, not just for college. And in fact, this is National Apprenticeship Week, and 529 plans, I just wrote a blog post about this, can be used for certain registered apprenticeships. So the costs involved in perhaps your equipment or your uniform or books and supplies that a student needs to pursue an apprenticeship. So not just for college per se, for a wide range of expenses, not just in your home state, across the US, and in many cases across the world. The other thing is, at these various institutions, this diverse range of institutions of higher learning, you can use the funds for tuition and fees, room and board, books and supplies, and even computers and computer-related peripherals, like having access to the internet through cable if you need it, if you're doing online learning, whatever you need to pursue a course of study at one of these institutions can be paid for through the 529 plan. So that's pretty broad. You can even cover off-campus living. If your child decides, particularly now during COVID or as an older student, maybe after their first or second year, they want to live off-campus, or maybe they even want to live at home. If you can document the expenses that were made on behalf of your child's living, as long as it doesn't exceed the amount that the school puts on their website as the estimated cost of attendance, that's broken down into room and board, as long as you've actually spent the money, they're pursuing a degree at least half time, and it doesn't exceed that amount, you can take that from your 529 plan. So my son lived off campus junior and senior year. I was able to keep track of what his rent was, what was he spending on groceries, what were his utilities, and I was able to take that money out of the 529 plan to cover that. So that's that. What else is another myth? We talked about not being just for college. The other myth I want to make sure your audience knows is you don't have to be the child's parent to open the account. In fact, you don't even need to be related. Sometimes godparents will open an account or a family friend. Grandparents are notorious for opening 529 plan accounts, or aunts or uncles. So you don't need to be the parent of the child to save for that future child. Another big myth is that college is going to be free someday and that people don't need to worry about student loans because someone's magically going to forgive student loan debt. I would argue that neither of those are true. While there may be some forms of higher education that may be reduced in cost or even free in certain parts of the country, that is typically just tuition. There are often, you know, a lot of different forms of criteria that are applied to being able to be eligible for that, oftentimes income driven, or you have to reside in a particular place. I would not count on college being fully free. Even if tuition was covered at certain types of institutions, you'd still have room and board. You'd still have books and supplies and equipment. There's lots of things that would need to be covered. So as far as myths, I would not count on something being totally free and not to worry about student loans. I would worry about student loans. I would not be wanting to take out maximum amounts of student loans if I could avoid it. Another myth is the financial aid treatment of 529 plans. People worry that there's a significant adverse effect to saving in advance for higher education. That is also a myth. For federal financial aid, which is filed for on a form called FAFSA, F-A-F-S-A, 529 plans are treated as parental assets, which I had mentioned to you. It's because the parent, typically, although it doesn't have to be, is the one who's in control. So parental assets are counted much less than if it was considered to be a child's asset. So for parental assets, only up to 5.64% of the account value is brought into this financial aid equation. So if you've saved $10,000, $564 of it only is considered as eligible to apply towards the child, the family's contribution toward the child's education. And the financial aid treatment is actually being improved in the years to come as well, but that's pretty generous. Now, while it may count, perhaps states have their own financial aid treatment or institutions do, and they can count 529 plans differently. The guidance is from most financial professionals and educational professionals I know is to save in advance. It is much better than counting on this hope of financial aid and worrying about missing out on something because the assets in the 529 plan do not count significantly. And financial aid is largely comprised of student loans. It's not just free money. It's not grants and scholarships that you don't have to pay back. It's often student loans. So holding out on this hope of financial aid, which may or may not even be there when your child's time comes, and being fearful about saving in advance, I say save in advance and not to worry about the minimal impact that savings could potentially have on your child's eligibility for federal financial aid. Oh, another myth is that if your child doesn't go to college or doesn't need the funds, that you, the account owner, can lose the money, somehow forfeit these funds. That is not true. As I said, the account owner always stays in control. So if your child, for instance, gets a scholarship and as a result doesn't need the money, you can pull the money out in full up to the amount of the scholarship, and you will have to pay tax. Remember, it was growing without tax. You'll have to pay tax because you never did and you didn't use it for its intended purpose, but there's no penalty whatsoever. So if your child gets a scholarship, if your child becomes disabled, God forbid, you would never have to pay any kind of penalty. You just owe the taxes. Now, if you're taking it out not for those reasons, but just because you want to get that money out, there is a 10% federal penalty on the interest only. So in that $10,000 example I gave you that had grown to $11,000 in value, only that $1,000 in earnings would you owe a 10% penalty on. So what's that, $100? So again, you know, you want to be prudent about the amount you put into these accounts. You want to be thoughtful in considering, is my child really going to use this money? But you shouldn't be worried about the instances where it may not be used. The other thing parents should know is that at any time, they can change the beneficiary from the original beneficiary to another one who's a member of the family. So if your first child doesn't use the funds or use them in full, you can transfer to another child in your family. You can transfer all the way out to first cousins, and you can transfer up to parents. You as a parent can use the 529 funds for yourself if your child doesn't use it. We all may need some retooling in our careers as time goes on, or later in life, you might want to pursue something. Even a child's grandparent could use the funds. And even better, some parents save the money for their children's children someday. So if one of your children doesn't use the money, or you've got a little bit left in the account after they've done their educational pursuit, you can save it for their children. What a great gift to have a nest egg for your adult child's children someday. That's what I plan to do for my son, Ben. We've gotten him through debt-free. He's finishing up graduate school right now. And I believe we will have a bit left over. So I've got my eye on it potentially for myself if I want to pursue something, but I think more likely I would just save it for his child someday. And I think that would be a great gift for him. So there's plenty that can be done. Parents need not worry about forfeiting the funds under these various circumstances. And I think that's about it for the primary myths.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I have learned so much. This is so interesting, and I know our listeners are getting so much out of this conversation too. So I'm curious. We've talked a lot about the practicality of this, the rules of this. I feel highly educated. What about mindset? What role does mindset play in achieving long-term goals that seem really insurmountable, like saving for your child's college education? Because even now the costs are so expensive, I can't imagine in 10 or 15 years, what those are going to look like?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Marissa. I think mindset plays a huge role in saving for a long-term goal like higher education. I think people are often discouraged when they see the costs of college. They should keep in mind that there are many forms of higher education. Some are less costly than others, and that getting started is really the most important thing rather than being paralyzed by fear. I think it's important upfront to visualize the experience that you want for your child or children when it comes their time to pursue some form of post-secondary education. It's what my husband and I did, and we actually visualized what we did not want. We did not want our son to be as stressed out as we were with over $100,000 in debt. We wanted to do better for him, and we were determined. And we visualized not only what we didn't want, but what we did want: this child having options, this child not being constrained by debt, not worrying about which school to pick or what type of career would pay him the most. And that's what we visualize. So I always suggest to families to visualize the outcome that they would like to achieve and to commit to it. And then beyond visualizing just the outcome, to begin to visualize the steps that need to be taken to get there, because the outcome's not going to magically appear if you don't take steps. So you can back into, gee, what would I need to do to be able to cover a third of their education or half of it, or to be able to put them in a public school in my state? You can go online and estimate these kinds of things, but you've got to visualize what you want, and you've got to figure out what the steps are to take. Another tip I have about mindset is to remember that you're not depriving yourself of anything by cutting corners and saving more than spending. In fact, you're providing yourself with a path to financial freedom, one for you and one for your children. So don't look at this as a big hassle and a negative thing where you've got to cut back on expenses. This is a good thing, and you're going to be able to have a brighter future for yourself and your children. Another thing about mindset is to tell others, of course, with discretion, people you're close to, as I said before, that you are on a mission to save for your child's future. Sometimes articulating a goal really helps to solidify it, and perhaps you can find like-minded others that either want to join you in helping you out with your own child or other parents who want to do the same. So I would suggest that you share your goal with people that you trust and like and whose company you're in, and let them encourage you, because I think that's a great way in terms of mindset, is to surround yourself by people who share your vision and support it. So those are the various mindset tips that I would give, and I hope they're helpful to your audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I think when you have a goal and you vocally express that to others, it becomes more real, and it becomes, you hold yourself accountable more. So I think that's a great tip to utilize. Okay, well, this conversation has been fascinating and very helpful. And now we are going to jump on over to our lightning round, where I ask you some fun, random questions just so our listeners can get to know you a little bit more personally. Are you ready?
I am ready. Thank you.
Okay. What book are you reading right now?
What book am I reading? I am reading, it's right here, Mel Robbins. You talk about mindset. Mel Robbins has authored the book called The High Five Habit. This is an excellent book, particularly for moms who sometimes put their self-care on the back burner. This is about celebrating yourself and supporting yourself the way you support others. You must consider Mel Robbins' The High Five Habit. I'm reading it right now and I'm so inspired.
Yes, I love Mel Robbins. I'll have to check that out. Would you call yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
I am a friendly, but very much introverted individual. I really value the time I spend with others, but I really need time to myself. And I am most effective when I'm in solitude. So definitely an introvert. I like people, but frankly, there are many times when I just rather be by myself.
Of course, totally get it. What if you could go on vacation tomorrow anywhere in the world? Where would it be and why?
I think it's more about who I'm with than where I'm going. But I do have a potential vacation with my son, Ben. He had to come home from studying abroad in Spain because of COVID. And I was supposed to be visiting him in April 2020. I have airfare credits, and we have credits from when he was supposed to be returning. I think we're going to take that money and go back to the south of Spain, the Seville area, and enjoy what he abruptly had to leave back in 2020. So I will give you that as my answer.
Beautiful. Yeah. All right. Serious question now. Nail salon, hair salon, or spa? You can only pick one to visit for the rest of your life. Which one is it?
That's a tough one, but I don't own a blow dryer, so I think it's got to be the hair salon. I visit my hair salon at least weekly and get fixed up a little bit, and if I didn't have the hair salon, I'd be a complete mess. So I say hair salon.
Well, that's why your hair looks so fabulous.
Yeah. I saw Lisa earlier today. Exactly.
Awesome. All right. And finally, what's one thing you never leave the house without?
In addition to my phone, this necklace, I'm not sure if you can see it, but for listeners, it's a heart-shaped pink necklace. It reminds me of my mom, who I miss so very much, who I'm sure is an angel watching over me. And I wear this necklace every single day, and certainly whenever I leave my home.
Oh, beautiful. All right. Well, before we wrap up this conversation, please tell our listeners where they can find you and where they can buy your book.
Oh, thank you for asking about that. In terms of finding me on Instagram, I'm at Root529Mom. Same on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn, Patricia Roberts. If you look up the company name Gift of College, you will find me there. And my book, Route 529, is on Amazon. And I hope your readers will enjoy it. I think they're going to learn a lot.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Patricia. I have learned so much from this conversation. I know our listeners have too. I really, really appreciate you being here.
I am so glad you invited me and very happy to be here.
You've been listening to the Mama Work It podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this episode and would love if you could take a quick minute to leave me a review on whichever platform you're listening from, and maybe even send a note to a fellow mama friend recommending it. Reviews and recs help this podcast grow and reach more like-minded, awesome moms. And if you haven't subscribed yet, don't forget to click that button so we can stay in touch, girl. By the way, if you haven't checked out the Mama Work It website, please do. There are lots of free resources and great articles there that can help you with the juggle of work life, mom life, wife life, fill in the blank life. So head on over. Thanks again for being part of the tribe. I'll see you soon, but in the meantime, keep on working it, Mama.